Thanks so much, Dan. I appreciate it. I'm sure that I'm not worthy of all that, but at any rate, I'll do the best I can. I'm going to share my screen here because I'm actually going to do things a little bit different. I'm going to do a presentation that I did I don't know, last year, I think, at a workshop on sponsorship. So first of all, just I want to make sure this is working. So please let me know if these start to show up when I so I just want to take a couple of minutes to tell a little bit about my own story, and then I'll kind of get into the presentation on sponsorship. So first of all, does that show up? Grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. Does that
It
just
shows
show
up
up?
perfectly. I can see it. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I grew up in the Bay Area. I started gambling when I was a teenager. I started playing more in the card rooms and drive up to, back in those days, there were no Indian casinos. You had to drive all the way to Reno or Lake Tahoe to gamble in casinos. And I did that. And I quickly realized that I was in trouble, and that I could not stop or control my gambling. So I had that insight pretty early on. I actually came to my first GA meeting at age 22. I looked it up in the phone book. For you younger people, you can Google phone book and find out what that is. And at age 22, and I was kind of in and out of the program. But finally, by 1982, I had relapsed again, and I just felt this incomprehensible demoralization. And so I called some members. They came over to my house in the morning of April 10th, 1982, and that's when I really sort of embraced the program, and I became willing to follow the suggestions, and that's when my life really changed. And through the grace of God and the fellowship of GA, I haven't really found it necessary to place a bet since that. And 3 days or so, I'll be celebrating 44 years clean in this program. So it's really given me the life I never knew I wanted. And I've been active in the program continuously. I continue to try to go to meetings wherever I can. Sponsored members, been in service, I've been a trustee. I started the Oakland meeting 40 plus years ago, that's still running. And so, yeah, it's just really been a big part of my life for all these years. So I sort of, when I used to sponsor people, sometimes I found our GA literature, I always thought it was not great for sponsoring people. And I found myself using sometimes outside literature, sometimes AA literature. And I just sort of always had in the back of my mind that when I retired from my business career, I was going to actually try to write something that would be more useful for working the steps. And so I did that. So in 2017, I retired from the business world, and I just wrote what I thought was a kind of a very sort of a logical approach to working the steps. And back in the appendix, even it was like, okay, week one, you do this, week two, you do this, week three, you do this, to try to make it just as straightforward as possible. Anyway, and so, and I originally wrote it for myself, just as a guide that I could use to sponsor people. And people said nice things about it, and they said, oh, you should give it to GA to have it a piece of their literature, and they politely declined. And so then I just posted it on my own website, which is better, because that way, if I hear something good I want to add or update, I can just go ahead and do that. So it's still, if anybody interested in this piece of literature, just go to gasteps.org, and it's a free download. So then after I retired from the business world, I started working as a college career counselor in a high school, and my wife and I finally retired from that about 4 years ago. And we have two sons that settled in LA, so we moved down here to annoy them. And so we moved to LA about 4 years ago, and I got bored in retirement, so I got a job taking tourists on hikes to the top of the Hollywood sign, which I do several days a week. I was up here this morning, as a matter of fact. And my home group is a Sunday morning Santa Monica Beach meeting, and I'm there most Sundays. So that's kind of my story. So anyway, I want to get into this sponsorship, because I've given a lot of thought to this topic. I've been a sponsor, I've been a sponsee. I've seen what I think people have doing this really well. Other people maybe struggled a bit. And so, first of all, hopefully at the end of the presentation, you will be your sponsor's favorite. So that's the goal of this presentation. I just always want to give this disclaimer. This presentation has not been approved by the GA Board of Trustees and only represents my opinions. And I should also add that I am frequently wrong. That's one of that. And so if there's anything you disagree about in this presentation, there's a good chance you're right. Humility is, life is provides a lot of opportunity for humility, and I'm frequently wrong. So as I say, it's okay if you disagree with anything you hear in this presentation. Once again, I'll get a little I'll get my little quick ad in here. This is the guidebook, and as I say, it's if you just want to just download it and just start reading the first four introductory chapters before you get into the steps. For folks who are new, I think it answers a lot of questions about GA, and I would certainly people are welcome to do that. Okay, so first of all, what is a sponsor? I mean, I actually almost think it's easier to say what isn't a sponsor, and so there's kind of a long list here, so I'll go through these pretty quickly. But first of all, sponsorship, it's not just a buddy. I mean, sometimes people say, oh, I want somebody I can go to a ball game with or do this or that with. And it's really the relationship is more than that in my view. We're not therapists. We're not trained therapists. If you have other mental health issues, if you just want somebody to talk to, that's not really what we are. We're certainly not a relationship counselor. I mean, especially me, God knows. I've been married for to the same woman for 36 years, and the only advice I can give to guys who are married to women, straight guys, is that women seem to like flowers. That's the extent of my knowledge about marriage for 36 years. For some reason, they like flowers. So, whenever a guy comes to me, say, oh, I'm having a problem with my wife, what do you think I should do? I say, I don't know, buy flowers. That's it. I got nothing else. So I'm certainly not a relationship counselor. We're not investment advisors. When I'm doing, other than a pressure relief meeting or something, where basically our measure is, earn more and spend less. That's the extent of my investment advice. We're not a bank. So if you're looking for a sponsor to borrow money from, yeah, good luck with that. Most of us are not trained lawyers. When people get into, a lot of us have legal difficulties, and sometimes sponsees have come to me with those, and I said, this is something I really think you should talk to an attorney about. This is just not my, I don't pretend to know this stuff. I'm not a clergyman. I don't claim to be expert in any particular theology or theological tradition. I think I can be helpful in your journey to fi find a higher power, and the guidebook talks a lot about that. But again, it's certainly not something that I claim any expertise in. I'm sponsee is certainly not a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So you definitely should not be looking for a sponsee because a sponsor because they're cute. That may be the worst possible reason to try to find a sponsor. So we certainly don't recommend that. The sponsor doesn't have to be a lifetime commitment. It doesn't, people change sponsors over time. They outgrow them. They turn out they're not the best fit. So it's not like getting married. It's a sponsor's so sometimes you may not find the perfect sponsor. Just understand, well, if it doesn't work out, I can find somebody else. So this is not a lifetime commitment. And finally, your sponsor is not your higher power. A sponsor is just someone that's gonna help you along the way. Okay, so what is a sponsor then? Well, to me, the heart of the relationship is a member of GA who guides another member through the steps of Gamblers Anonymous. That's kind of that's the big thing. And so that's the primary thing. And then secondarily, sponsor will typically be available to help with issues. I may be having gambling urges. I may be having a life challenges, problem at work. Problem in a relationship and so forth. And we can talk about oftentimes the solution is to practice the principles of Gamblers Anonymous. And it is often the solution. And we can help with how to do that. A lot of times people say, oh, I'm having these gambling urges. I said, okay, let's get back to principles. Have you been praying about it? Have you been is there still some house cleaning you need to do? Are there still any Is there still any guilt or things that you haven't cleaned up? Are you working with other members? Do you have a service commitment? I mean, in other words, we just kind of get back to basics. And a lot of times, just doing this will resolve a lot of those other types of issues. Normally the sponsor will have, like at least a year or so clean, hopefully has worked the steps themselves. Those were kind of a couple of, certainly some of the things that would be, I think, important to look for in a sponsor, and that's what a sponsor would be. And so therefore, what should you look for if you're looking for a sponsor? So first of all, this is, you don't really have to find a sponsor that can beat up everybody else's sponsor. So that would probably not have to be it. But you might, but I would say first and foremost is find a member that has a quality of recovery that you admire. I mean, I think that that would be the most important quality that you look for in a sponsor. Again, hopefully they've worked the steps of GA themselves, have a reasonable amount of clean time. It's usually preferable to pick a sponsor, of the same gender that tends to, for a couple of reasons. First of all, you definitely do not want to become romantically entangled with a sponsor. And also, secondly, sometimes it can be awkward where, I know that I have sponsored women. It seems to work out okay on Zoom, where I've sponsored people on Zoom. But for example, a part of the fourth step is sexual inventory. And a lot of times, women are uncomfortable talking about that with a guy. Guys may be uncomfortable talking about their sexual inventory with a woman. They may feel more comfortable with a person of their same gender. So I've sponsored women, and when we get to the sexual inventory, they've said to me, I can talk to you about resentments and fears, but sexual inventory, I would rather talk to a woman. And my reaction is, thank God. So then they maybe find another woman in the program that they can talk to them about that, that particular issue and things that they've done that they maybe have some guilt and shame around. And then we go on and work the steps. And that's fine, because the fifth step only says you have to talk to another human being. It doesn't say you have to talk to your sponsor about any of this stuff. And it's also, it's not one of the things that people say. Sometimes they'll say, well, I don't really relate to anybody in the program. And they're kind of looking at, in my opinion, some of the superficial things. So, you'll hear some guy saying, well, these old guys, they tell stories about when they used to go to the track. And, I'm a crypto bro, so I don't really relate to this story. But if my experience is, if you listen carefully, if you listen to the incomprehensible demoralization in their story, and you listen to, the problems they had in the workplace, the problem that they had in their relationships, the financial difficulties, all of a sudden, I always say, look for the similarities and not the differences. And that if you can sort of relate to those sorts of things, oftentimes those people can make really good sponsors. What are some of the red flags in picking a sponsor? I've been in this program for a long time, and I wish that I could say that people, and by people, frankly, I usually mean men, always behave well. They don't. And so, to young women out there, if you're looking for a sponsor and you put it out there, and some guy comes up and says, "Hey, honey, I'll be your sponsor," I would say that's a red flag. So, I mean, I've sponsored women. But it's usually when they've approached me and have said, hey, I can't really find a woman that has worked the steps in my area or something like that, and there's been some reason. But so I would say that in general, that's kind of a red flag. Another thing, they may have a very specific understanding of a higher power that perhaps you don't share. They may be deeply religious, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with, with having very religious sponsors. But if you, that's not your particular path, if you have a different sort of an understanding of a higher power, and they're maybe not open-minded to that, and you think that they should have their higher power, that seems to me kind of a red flag. I think sponsors should be open-minded to whatever your particular higher power is, even if it doesn't align necessarily with their own. And then the final one is, speaking of bad behavior, I have seen this. Sometimes People say, hey, now that I'm sponsoring you, why don't you invest in my business or something like that? That would be definitely a red flag also. So we don't want to commingle, business or financial things with sponsorship in general. So those would be some red flags. So how do you get a sponsor? Well, so go to lots and lots of meetings. If if you're fortunate to live in places like LA or New York or places that have a lot of in-person meetings, that's great. I do love in-person meetings, I have to admit. But I'm also mindful of the fact that, there are just some places that don't have a lot of in-person meetings, maybe smaller or more rural areas. And Zoom is wonderful. I mean, Zoom really, in many ways, really has been a boom to our program, by bringing the program to a lot of places where meetings to places where it just couldn't exist before. So, whatever works for you, but in any event, go to a lot of different meetings and listen carefully. Listen to members share. And again, this is what you're listening for: someone who has a quality of recovery that you admire, someone who is talking about recovery, someone's talking about the steps, someone's talking about how this program has changed their lives in specific ways. That's what you want to listen for. The person that comes in and is always complaining, their boss doesn't understand them, their spouse doesn't understand them, what we like to say, carrying the mess instead of the message. That might not be the right person. You want to someone with a hopeful message of recovery. And then just reach out to them. Ask them, first of all, ask them if they are available to be a sponsor, and if they work their steps with their sponsees. That's kind of it. I mean, you don't really need to interview them too much. I had a I knew a guy in the program one time that he went up to an old timer and he said he wanted to interview him to see if he would be qualified to be a sponsor. And he says, well, what is your success rate? And the old timer said, it's 100%. And the guy says, really? He says, yeah, I've sponsored lots of guys and I haven't had to gamble over one of you bastards yet. In other words, I've stayed clean. The sponsee may or may not. And that's my record too. I've sponsored a lot of guys. Some of them stayed clean, some of them, but my sponsees have kept me clean for a long time. And it's okay if they say no to either question. So, I mean, there are, I mean, I'm fortunate I'm, retired now, but there was a time when I was busy. I was working full time and I had young kids and I had parents with health issues and I just didn't have the bandwidth to sponsor more than maybe one person at a time. So just it, and it's okay if and I had to say no to people to say fine. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it right now at this stage of my life. And that happens. And so if they say that, just say, okay, thank you, and just keep going. And eventually, maybe reach out to the secretary of a meeting, say, hey, is there a sponsor that you could recommend? And I suspect you'll find him. So what's the commitment of the sponsee? So first of all, it's just honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And by that, when I sponsor people, there's homework. You're going to read this, you're going to write this, you're going to pray about this, this is what you're going to make these amends, dot, 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 dot. This is on the agenda for this week. And do that, and do it early in the week rather than 5 minutes before you're supposed to meet, in case you have any problems during the week or something comes up, or you want to reach out to the sponsor and say, hey, I didn't quite understand this homework assignment. Could you explain this? I'm having some trouble. So yeah, so first of all, do your homework. Be on time for scheduled meetings. Hey, we're going to meet, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. Show up, a couple minutes early, and be there. Be open to all the steps. Again, open-minded. Don't say, well, let's just skip all these God steps. Let's just do these other ones. Be open-minded to all of them, even if you don't immediately understand the benefits. I know the first time I did the steps, I didn't. And then after I did them, I said, okay, I see why we did that. I see why we did this step before that step. Now that makes sense. But it wasn't really clear to me until I've actually done them. So just be open-minded. And then, relapse happens. I mean, it's unfortunately, I mean, it for many reasons. Main reason is we're compulsive gamblers, and that's just, something that happens. And if it does happen, just call your sponsor right away and say, hey, I gambled last night. I don't know what happened. And chances are the sponsor will, you'll walk through it and you'll figure out what it was happened. Well, I actually hadn't been to a meeting for a while, and and I kind of let I was carrying this resentment or whatever it was. And you can usually kind of diagnose the situation and okay, now what do we do going forward? And let's come up with a plan B, and where maybe we'll take a step back on the steps or whatever. But don't try to hide out, don't ghost your sponsor. Just own it, call them up, and then okay, how do we move forward? And finally, if the sponsor's not the best fit for you, just tell them. It's okay. As I say, it's not a lifetime commitment. Sometimes, I've been fired by sponsees who have gone on to get other sponsors and been clean for years. And that's fine. That's great. It's I'm happy. I see them. I'm so happy that they found a sponsor that's a better fit. I have a particular style of sponsorship. It's not right for everybody. And so that's okay. It's just just say okay. It's I think appreciate all you've done, but I think I'm going to move in a different direction, and it doesn't even have to be a big deal. So now, are you qualified to be a sponsor? Well, if you've worked the steps and have a year or so of clean time, then you should be able to sponsor someone. And you have to start somewhere. I mean, this isn't rocket science. It's like I said, they even put the numbers on the steps so you don't forget which order to work them. If you've kind of worked the steps, not sure the best way to do it, again, a little plug here. My guidebook just really designed to do it. Okay, do this, read this, read this, underline that. We'll talk about this. It's really designed to make it so that kind of pretty much anybody that's worked the steps has a pretty straightforward path to do them. So just if you're at a meeting where they say, is anybody willing to be a sponsor? Just, at first, okay, just raise your hand. And then maybe nobody asks you. And then you're saying, well, nobody's asked me, but that's okay. Just keep raising your hand. And then, of course, if nobody asks you, then there's other ways to be of service too. But the fact that you're just putting it out there, and by you raising your hand, maybe you'll make other people feel more comfortable to raise their hands as well. Also, if it's your meeting, that's not something that they do, maybe you could suggest they put that in the meeting format. Hey, maybe we could start asking if anybody's available to be a sponsor here. And finally, nobody gets this perfectly. It's like raising kids or anything else. It's just, and the longer you do it, you're probably going to get a little better at it. But I remember the first couple of people I sponsored, I kind of cringe at some of the things I said and did that I would just do a little different now. And nobody does it perfect. And it's, we all just do the best we can. We're not professionals. And how do I become a better sponsor? Well, obviously, if you haven't worked the steps for a long time, maybe it's time you do them again. Maybe we'd get a different sponsor. Open-mindedness and flexibility. This one size fits all approach to sponsorship is probably not right. I mean, I've had sponsors that struggled with English, maybe that weren't really good readers, maybe that had abuse in their childhood growing up, that had all came from all kinds of different backgrounds. And I've had to sort of modify and temper and change things a little bit. And I've tried to learn to meet the sponsee where they are. And that I can't always, approach this stuff the same way. And again, with respect to my own, I'm kind of running over here, so I'm just going to wrap up quickly. My own, when I carry my shares at meetings, I try to carry the message and not the mess. So I try to make myself more to be more appealing as a potential sponsee. And then, of course, we don't preach in this program. We don't say you need to do this, you need to do this. I just say, look, this is what I did, and this is what happened. This is what I did this one time. It worked out terribly. You do what you want, but I personally wouldn't do that. And then, of course, listen. And finally, just don't be so arrogant as to think that I'm responsible for the sponsee's success or failure. My job is really just to keep the sponsee distracted while God does all the work. Hopefully you'll do this, you'll become a great sponsor, and your sponsees will all be wearing shirts that say they love their sponsor. So that's really my whole presentation. And thank you for inviting me here today, Dan. I appreciate it. A chance to share some stuff that I've learned over the years. And now I'm available for any questions or comments if any folks have them.
Wow. Thank you so much, Chris. That was a great share. And I've never quite seen it done this way. And quite honestly, I'm in favor. So congratulations and welcome. Thank you so much. All right. Looks like we got a couple hands up already. I'm not surprised. All right, Patricia, welcome. Thank you. Come on in.
Thank you so much. Is it okay that I ask you a question that nothing relate to sponsorship regarding just the gambling? Because you talked
Sure.
about sponsorship. My question is, you quit such a young age, 20 something, 25. What motivates you? What was the tools that we can learn from you that, I mean, you quit? I mean, I'm sure that you are struggling. That's such a young age. A lot of people here are way mature than in 20s. What would you advise when you get temptation, you quit, turn away? I mean, is there anything you can share with us? Because, I mean, we're way mature, but we're still struggling. But you quit at age 25. It's amazing. That's such a young age. Thank you.
Yeah, well, in my case, I became aware early on that I gambled in a way that was fundamentally different than a lot of other people. And I mean, example I like to use is that, I like to go skiing. I still ski, as a matter of fact, almost 70. But we would go up to Tahoe with a bunch of my friends who were normal gamblers, and they have casinos there, and it's in Nevada. And they would, and we'd go and they'd play a little blackjack and lose $20 and go to bed. And I would end up gambling all night long and miss the skiing. And then we'd be riding home and they'd be talking about how great the skiing was. And I had spent the whole weekend in the casinos. I hadn't gotten out. I had never seen the snow. And I mean, and that was just, I mean, I said, Chris, you're different than these guys. I didn't notice that was, I couldn't leave. I couldn't stop. And that was different than other people, other friends that I had, and that I had, tr and I tried to stop and control my gambling on my own, and I was unable to do that. I was unable to stop and control my gambling on my own, and I'd heard about Gamblers Anonymous, and I think I read it in Dear Abby, and so I looked it up in the phone book, and I went to a GA meeting, and I heard people for the first time talk like tell my story. They found they were unable to on their own to stop or control their gambling, and I had never heard that before. And so I, my very first GA meeting, I said, "These are my people. I felt at home." Now, I wasn't willing to do the work initially. That's why I kept relapsing. But once I was able to make this commitment, once I was able to say, "Okay, not placing a bet today is the most important thing I do. No matter what else happens today, if I go today without placing a bet, it's going to be a good day." And once I brought that perspective and I gave it that, they always say, whatever you put ahead in front of your recovery, be prepared to lose. So if you put your family ahead of your recovery, be prepared to lose your family. You put your job ahead of your recovery, be prepared to lose your job. So once I gave it that level of priority, that this was the most important thing I do was to not place a bet today, that's when things changed. And then ultimately working the steps and the urges to gamble were ultimately lifted. But it just has to be that level of priority.
Thank you so much. All right, next we'll go over to Quinn. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Quinn, compulsive gambler. I guess it's bo mostly a comment. Thank you, Chris, for your share. Its timing and validity was perfect in my recovery. My first sponsor was a woman who was probably 30 years older than me at the time, and we agreed to have our first meeting on the phone on a Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. At 9:30 that night, I hung up and I hadn't said one word. She had told me her entire story about having to raise her granddaughter and everything that and that entailed. And it was a person that I had met in person at an in-person meeting. So I was scared to fire her. So I let it go on for about 3 months and then I just had it. And my second sponsor was a man who was gay. So I thought it would, be pretty safe. And we met at Caribou every week. And about on the 10th meeting, he had his kit with that I was supposed to purchase from his pyramid scheme deal. So I promptly fired him, and he was also an in-person. So it was a little uncomfortable there for a while. So I was a little shy about getting another sponsor, but I did, and he was my sponsor for 10 years. And he moved away, but that was fine because we used Zoom, and then he passed away. So that was very, very sad as a sponsor and as a person, just a great, great human being. So I am in the process of looking for a sponsor, but I haven't been real active about it because I've been a little shy about it. But your story and your just very simple, kind of like a PowerPoint there. I like that. That's how I think analytically. Really fired me up to get going about getting a new sponsor. So I just wanted to say thanks. And I'm glad I was at the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Quinn. Appreciate that. And welcome, Claire.
Thank you, Jen. I just wanted to apologize first to Chris. I did have to step away for 5 minutes during your share, so there is a couple of questions I want to ask, and you've maybe said it in your share. So I do apologize. But the couple of questions I've got, just because I've heard various things in a few meetings recently, in regards to the sponsorship side, do you feel that you have to be X amount of time off of a bet? Which is my first question. My second one is, do you think there's a time, like I know that you say that you're a sponsor, so would you expect your sponsee or sponsees have done the steps within a specific amount of time? And my third question is something which I totally disagree on, but personally, me with my sponsor, I've kind of been doing like some foundational work and journaling and gratitude lists and stuff for my sponsor. And I'm currently coming to the end of my step one. And I heard in a meeting that somebody said, because I'm coming to the end of my step one, that I could technically start sponsoring somebody and taking them through step one. So it was just kind of your opinion on that. Thank you.
Okay, I'll try to see if I can remember those. First of all, in terms of how much time you need clean to sponsor somebody, there's no fixed rules about that stuff. I mean, I sort of think maybe you should think about a year as being kind of a good rule of thumb. But I'm also mindful of the fact that, there's sometimes there's these little towns where there's maybe not that many people that have much clean time. And so I've known cases where people kind of just work this, two people kind of work the steps with each other. And just because they didn't have people with a lot of clean time, and so it's not ideal. But sometimes you just have to make accommodations for what you have. So I mean, as I say, I would kind of normally be looking for someone that has a year or so clean and had worked the steps. And in terms of how long it should take to work the steps, I mean, the timeline that's in my book and that's the one that I kind of use, it's in the neighborhood of 6 months. Sometimes they, you know, sometimes people go on vacation or they one step takes a little bit longer. It might bleed into, 8 or 9 months. But truthfully, in my opinion, it shouldn't take much longer than that. So that's kind of the timeline that I normally give people. And it's about 6 months for meeting every week. And then, finally, yeah, I mean, I've known people that, I was sponsoring a guy not too long ago, and we were working the 11th step, and somebody asked him to sponsor somebody, and he had really solid recovery and had really been doing well and had been clean for a while. And he asked me what I thought. I said, yeah, sure, absolutely, go ahead. And when we finished up the 12th step long before. So, I mean, I think if you're close to the end of your steps and somebody asks you to sponsor them, I think a lot of times that can be fine. You don't have to finish the 12 steps necessarily. On the other hand, I would think that if somebody had just finished the first step, I don't know whether I would recommend, and this is just my opinion, recommend that they sponsor somebody, because so much of the program is a spiritual program, and really understanding, having a good sense of, coming to believe in a power greater than yourselves, being willing to turn your will and your life over to that higher power, just at the very basis, and maybe the fourth and fifth steps, or these things are so fundamental, and not having walked through those things, I'm not sure that I would really recommend that person go ahead and sponsor people. That, again, that's my opinion. Did that answer all your questions?
Yeah, thank you, Chris.
Okay.
Thank you so much. All right, next we'll go over to Tony. Tony, welcome.
Thanks, Jennifer. Hey, Chris. I thought that was a great presentation. I had a sponsor when I first came in, but I wanted to work the steps, and we were just sort of writing on words and things, and I didn't find that. I wanted to just delve into the steps. So right now, I don't have a sponsor. I'm working with a couple of different mentors, but that being said, I'm wondering, do you find two parts? Do you find particular steps that sponsees have the most troubles with? Because I want to see if I might be similar to that. And also, I've heard stories in the rooms where if someone relapses, their sponsors fire them. I mean, what's your view on that? And that's it. Thanks.
Yeah, well, in terms of the steps that sponsees tend to have trouble with, I mean, the fourth step is the most work, and also the way I do the fourth step, we talk in GA, we talk about a moral and financial inventory, which is different than I think every other 12-step program, which just talks about the moral inventory. So we added the financial aspect, which I think is good, because I think money is kind of a big deal for us. It's a major trigger for a lot of people trying to get the money back and so forth. So actually what I do is I do the moral inventory, and then I do a pressure relief meeting, which I personally, and I use the GA pressure relief literature for that as the financial inventory. And so that's how I do that. And so, yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of, that's the step I spend the most amount of time with. We just go through, we kind of really break it down into bite-sized pieces, so it's not overwhelming, searching and fearless moral and financial inventory. Oh my gosh. But if you just kind of break it down into sort of these bite-sized pieces, it makes a little bit more manageable. But that's certainly a difficult one. Certainly the ninth step, making amends. A lot of times people are reluctant to, it's embarrassing to go back to some of these people and tell them you did this or that. So I would say generally those are probably the steps maybe give most folks the most amount of trouble. But in terms of, firing, I mean, firing someone because they relapse, I mean, personally, it's like we say in GA, we don't shoot our wounded. I mean, when people relapse, I mean, that's not a good day, and then to have their sponsor say, "You're a loser, you're fired." I mean, I can't, I just, it's just a lack of compassion. And I mean, many people relapse in the program, and they relapse again. I relapsed, over a period of 2 or 3 years until I finally got it, till I got it. If somebody had, fired me or said I wasn't welcome to come back or something like that, it's like, we say, keep coming back. That's what we always say. Keep coming back, welcome home, it's okay. And that's our message, is that, you relapse and that's okay. Come on back. And as I say, I'll sometimes modify the steps. If we're working a later step, I'll say, hey, maybe we didn't really do a thorough third step. Maybe you hadn't really turned your life over, and maybe we'll get back into the third step, and we'll modify our program, maybe step up meetings a little bit, maybe figure out a service position. So we'll maybe tweak our step work a little bit, or a lot. But I mean, I've never fired anybody for relapsing. I just think that's cruel.
Thank you so
Thank you. I
much, Chris.
appreciate it.
Yeah, good question. Great answers. Love it. George, come on in. Thank you.
Oh, hi, Jennifer. Thank you very much for leading the meeting. Thank you for protecting it, Chris. The first question I have is, that famous saying, what's the first thing I got to do when I join Gamblers Anonymous? Well, they say you got to change everything you do. So, in your opinion, what's a good way for a person to get started in Gamblers Anonymous? If you want to answer that question, if not, I've asked a lot of bad questions, and I'll just consider another bad question. Thank you.
Oh, that's a great question. Well, it's kind of an easy one. I mean, the first thing I do is quit gambling. that's a good start. I mean, and what I tell people who are brand new in the program, like who come in the, these people that come into the program, they gambled yesterday or 2 days ago, and you just see that, you just see that look. I mean, they just are so sad, so depressed. And for those folks, I just say, look, here, because they can't, their brain is a, they're in withdrawal, their brain's kind of a mess. They can't really conceive of the steps yet or any of that stuff. And so what I just tell those folks is I say, look, here's my suggestion. Here's your to-do list for today. Number one, don't gamble. Number two, see number one. In other words, just keep it simple. Do you think you can go today without placing a bet? Do you think you can do that? Okay, if you struggle and if you have an urge comes up today, just say, okay, can I go 5 minutes without playing a bet? Just let me not gamble in this moment, and then see if you can get through today. And just do that today. Just see if you can not gamble today. And for someone who gambled yesterday, man, that's not easy. That is not easy. And if somebody can get through a whole day without placing a bet, I mean, that's a really good start for people who are brand new in the program. Because you start talking higher power and all this stuff, and it's like, it's over, it's too much. And so if you can just, and if they can kind of get through 30 days without placing a bet, going to lots of meetings, especially with Zoom, trying to go to a meeting every day, not placing a bet. And then after 30 days, then think the fog starts to lift a little bit. Now you can say, okay, now why don't you look for a sponsor, and you can start working the steps. And that's, to me, that's the process that I always recommend. I mean, just start off with try not to place a bet today. That's kind of a full-time job for someone who's brand new.
May I ask you one more short one,
Sure.
please? All right, self-criticism. What's your go-to to stop you from getting into self-criticism, self-hate, or self-loathing? And either or, none of the above. Thanks.
Well, again, when people say to me, well, I just don't really get the spiritual side of the program. To me, the spiritual side of the program is like the round side of a basketball. It's kind of the whole deal. And if you're not open-minded enough to find some kind of a higher power in your life, it doesn't have to be supernatural. It doesn't have to be anything else. There's a lot written in this in the second step, how anybody can find, even if you're a fanatical atheist, you can find some kind of a higher power. And so if you're in self-criticism, if you're in self-hate, then you're not living in God's economy. Then you're living in, then you're, you know, I mean, then you're not really letting in the love of God. Because God loves us unconditionally, and God just doesn't want us to place a bet today. And if we just, and if we're in self-criticism, it just means that we're not spiritually fed. And so the solution is just prayer. Just pray for God's love, and that's, I mean, because God doesn't care about how much money we have, what our job title is. He really doesn't give a shit what our credit score is. I mean, I see people get so worked up about their credit scores. Like, really? You think God cares what your credit score is? I mean, people get, in man's economy, and especially obviously we live in a capitalist world. I mean, people worry about the dumbest thing. I mean, our higher power really cares. This is what he cares about. How do we treat other people? And, do we practice kindness, generosity, honesty, humility, tolerance, and love? If we practice those things in our life, that's how we get our self-esteem back. And it doesn't matter one thing I know is that the one thing that's none of my business is what other people think of me. So I don't care what other people think of me. The only is if I'm pleasing my higher power today, that I'm good. That's all. That's enough. That's enough. Thanks.
I just want to cross comment and I'm done. A lot of times when I do get into that self-criticism, self-hate, or I don't follow up on something, I almost feel like I'm gambling again without gambling. It's a rotten feeling. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thanks, George.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. All right. Next up, Frank. Welcome.
All right. Hi. Hello, everyone. My name is Frank Esk, and I am a very grateful recovering compulsive gambler. Today marks 5,555 days since my last bet, the most important day of today. And, gosh, what an amazing meeting. Thank you so much, Chris. I'm just passing by our meeting spot on Sunday mornings. We get to enjoy beautiful Southern California and the recovery that takes place here. And Chris, when he's, as he says, it's hard to believe you've been down here 4 years now. It took us almost that long for us to finally get lunch together. And of all places, it was 3,000 miles away in Hawaii when that happened. So, but thank you for, I've heard a lot of shares over the years on sponsorship. And by far, this is one of the most articulate, clear presentation that I've ever heard. I learned so much. It's going to inform me in terms of how I work with sponsors in the future, and also inspire me to do more work with my sponsor slash mentor. So thank you for that, Chris. I do have a few questions, and I don't think I forgot half of them, but I'll start with at least a couple if you indulge me. Over the years, your observation, been around a long time, the success rate between those that have a sponsor and those that don't, you can even guess at it. I know you're kind of a numbers guy like me, so that would certainly be a useful guess. But more importantly is, what do you think holds people back from getting sponsors? And I, for example, I have a friend in the UK only 3 years ago, and he celebrated 40 years, about 4 years ago, did he finally get a sponsor and start working the steps. So along with that question is it too late to ever get a sponsor? And what's really holding people back from doing that? Is it our own egos? Is our stubbornness? Is it, you know, what is it that you feel, and what can be done about it? All right, that's it for now. The other questions, I'll ask you next time I meet you.
Thanks. Good to see you, Frank. You're looking good there. So first of all, in terms of success rate, I mean, I don't, you know, we don't, I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen any numbers on that. I mean, anecdotally, obviously, it certainly seems people who get sponsors and work the steps do a lot better than folks that don't. I will talk about something that what I call the two programs. You know, I've been in this program a long time, and I've seen basically two programs. The first program I call the go to meetings and don't gamble program. And I've seen people that go to meetings and they don't gamble and their lives get better. And sometimes they stay clean for long periods of time. And you know, and they're the ones that I was talking about earlier. They come to meetings and they're talking about how, you know, they got their problem at work and this and that. And, you know, their wife doesn't understand them and rah, rah, rah. And you know, they're complaining and they're carrying the mess instead of the message. And, you know, but because they're not gambling, you know, their finances typically get a little bit better. And, you know, they're not, you know, facing legal problems. They're not facing, you know, they may not get fired at work. And so they're kind of muddling through life. And so, you know, I mean, and they, you know, as I say, their life is clearly better for those folks that do that program, the don't gamble and go to meetings program. The second program that I've seen is the one I like to call Gamblers Anonymous. That's the program where people work the 12 steps of Gamblers Anonymous. And that's the program where I see people, their lives transform before my eyes. You know, that's the one where, you know, I see just joy comes back into people's lives. You know, they're having fun. You know, all their, you know, they're not stressing about problems at work and problems in relationships and you know, all these other things, you know, politics, all this other stuff. They don't lose sleep over it. They learn to live in the serenity prayer, accepting the things they cannot change, change the things they can. And usually the things they can change are the only things I can change are myself. The line between the things I can change and the things I can't is my skin. I can't change much outside. I can't change other people. I can't change world events. I can change myself, my response, my reaction to them. If I stay focused on that, work the steps, try to be helpful, be of service, I have a great life. I have a wonderful life. It's only when I start trying to run things that I start, having problems. So I would say answer your question, Frank, not only I think are people more likely to stay clean if they get a sponsor and work the steps, they're just going to have so much a better life. I mean, their life's going to be more fun. They're just going to have peace of mind. All these, just really, just the quality of life is just going to be so much enhanced. So that's what I see. Those are the people that are laughing all the time. They're smiling. They're joking. They wear life like a loose garment. They're just not stressed out all the time about everything. So that's, to me, that's almost the most significant thing. In terms of your second question, I think I forgot it, Frank. Does anybody remember it? I forget what it was.
What holds people back from getting
Ah,
sponsors?
that's it. That's it. Thank you.
I'm
Well,
glad I remembered it.
good job. Yeah, it's just fear. It's just fear, that old nemesis of ours. A lot of, I mean, I fear dictated a lot of my life's decisions for years and years. I was just in fear. And that's what holds people back from doing a lot of the step work. From ask, I mean, it's kind of a big deal to ask someone to be their sponsor. It's sort of like, asking someone to go on a date. You're afraid of rejection. You've got that going on. You're afraid of what they might find once you start doing a self, an in a moral inventory. Oh my God, am I gonna have to look at myself? You're kind of ashamed of past behavior. You don't really want to look at that. You're in fear about that. You're in fear of the future. So it's just, I think all of that's just, it's just good old fashioned fear. And what we learn, of course, is that, fear can stand for many things. One, it can stand for false evidence appearing real, and that once we find out what's really going on, we don't have to live in fear. It can also stand for fuck everything and run, that I don't want to look at that. I just want to, go and gamble and go someplace where I have to worry about it. Or finally, it can stand for face everything and recover. And once we make that decision that we're just going to face everything and recover, then that's when our lives start to get better.
That was so beautiful. Thank you so much for that, Chris. And thank you, Frank, for the great question as well. And I had a question, but it was answered already. So there goes that. So amazing, 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 amazing share, Chris. Thank you very much. We're going to give everybody a few more seconds if anybody else would like to say anything else or have a comment. And if not, then we're going to go ahead and, oh, perfect. David, Balmori Dave, you're up next, please. Welcome.
Was that with the French pronunciation? The Maury?
Yes.
Be more Dave here. Actually, 3/15/26 is my end date. Been in the program since 1/1/18. Three lapses, each one less than 20 hours, which my addiction likes to tease me with, saying, Dave, you can go back again. Anyway, thank you so much for your presentation. A few questions for you. And I actually have a lot, so forgive me. Let's get the picture out of the way. All right, so we got meetings. I run into in-person meetings run by someone that is, I guess, especially for newcomers, well respected. They look up to, but he does not work the steps. He doesn't like to talk about the steps. In fact, his bitterness about his ex is, put out front and out loud. So, once when he said, "No, you can't have your birthday this day because that's my ex's birthday," something silly like that. So, I suggested, so, what about step nine? And of course, that's the kind of thing that I did as I looked at the steps in the beginning. The judgment of, I can do that, I can do that, maybe I can do that. No, absolutely, I can't do that. That's what I'm looking at from this person. All right, so that's question one, and I'm going to let you answer that so I can get through them without you forgetting, me forgetting.
So I'm not sure I heard the description of this guy. So what, I'm not sure what the question
Well,
is.
how do I, it's actually, I've almost stopped going to this meeting because new people come in, just
Okay.
because I don't, let's say, for example, if I was in his shoes, if I don't appreciate the steps, I don't believe in the steps, that doesn't mean, there's thousands and thousands of people that have been helped by working the steps. Why should I deny that from the new people? You know what I'm
This is
saying?
an an easy one. This is an easy one. So your question is, how do I change other people? That's your
Well, you can't do
question.
that.
That's
You
what
can't.
basically what you're asking me.
All right.
And
Well,
the
I mean,
answer.
the other thing is to be confrontational, not directly, but in the
Yeah.
first person in the meeting saying, this
Yeah.
is what the steps have done for me.
Yeah.
And
So
it's very important to do that. All right. So let me
that's
get to
right.
another question.
Yeah.
I got another one. All right. So would you mention about the sponsees asking people, as a sponsor, do you ever, and I was told that you never ask somebody to be a sponsee. They have to show commitment, so you have to wait for them to come to you.
That's
Do you
what I
agree with that?
do, and I do, and that's my personal way of doing it, which because I do think that there's an important element of recovery is humility, and so it's I think it's important for someone, and really, they've hit that point of incomprehensible demoralization we talk about, and they're just beat, gamblers just beat the crap out of them, and they just come to a meeting and they just say, okay, I'm willing to ask another human being to be my sponsor. And that's kind of a big ask. I mean, it shows a level of humility. And I sort of think if somebody isn't quite there yet, they may not be quite ready to be willing to do the steps. Gambling has to, the reason we don't need to we don't advertise, we don't need to. The casinos do all our work for us. They card rooms, casinos, websites, that's who does all of our recruiting for us, and they're doing fine. And so, and by the time people come in, nobody comes into GA on the wings of victory. They come in here just because they've just had the holy crap beat out. That's why I came in. It's like, okay, I'm ready. I'll ask for someone to be a sponsor. I'll go to your dumb meetings. I'll work your stupid steps. Fine. I'll pray to a God I don't believe in. I'll do whatever you suggest. I'm, just willing to do these things that are, counterintuitive in many cases and require a level of humility. And so, yeah, so I would agree with that.
All right, another opinion question. I'll try to put these together. As a sponsee, when I first, this was about 2020, I came in at 2018. The first question was, are you willing to go to any lengths to be clean and abstinent? And of course, I had no idea if I could, but since I pursued the guy, the sponsor, I said yes. And I knew I was going to have to deal with the spirituality issue, which eventually I did. And I was immediately, as we moved forward quickly, I was given a list of suggestions to do, including, and what's your opinion of this, to call every day to my sponsor. He didn't necessarily answer every day, but I had to call every day to show, and this again was showing commitment and writing these suggestions, turning them in every day, the gratitude list, the nightly inventory. Calling three people a day. So, and then also with my sponsor, and he was from the UK. So we worked from the AA Big Book, which, since you've written something else, I think you mentioned the AA Big Book. So what's your opinion of working from the AA Big Book? And I'll leave it there. Thanks, Chris. Great job.
Thank you. Well, so for all those things you mentioned, I know some sponsors do that, call me every day and write a gratitude list. And those are all wonderful, wonderful suggestions. I don't take issue with anything. If you have a sponsor and that's his deal, I would absolutely do them. I really stay focused, but personally, I really stay focused on the steps. I like to stay on the steps, and that's kind of my whole deal. So my whole thing is, okay, we're going to work the steps. We're going to meet once a week. You're going to do this, and that's the way I approach it. But I don't say one's better than the other. One's right or one's wrong. That's just kind of how I do it. But again, a lot of I know other people who have great high quality of recovery, who sponsor people that way, who have been sponsored people by doing those things. And so I don't criticize the way anybody else works the steps or does anything. I mean, whatever, this is a hard damn disease, and whatever keeps people clean, God bless you. So I don't judge the way anybody else does the steps. But to your, remind me again your second question. I should write these down. Your final, your last question again, Dave, was, oh, you're muted. Sorry. Oh, okay.
Let's see.
You forgot to. Okay, I'll put
What
something.
the suggestions every day? It's kind of we sort of touch on it every day, but and especially as explained to me
Oh, you
after I
asked about the AA.
finished.
Yeah, I remember it was about the AA Big Book.
Anyway,
So
but
that's right.
I did want to mention so the book that I've not been a successful sponsor, and I have relapsed three times since that, or twice since then. So I'm looking for a new sponsor. But what was I going to say? That if I wasn't able to do the simple th like it's almost like when you get a sponsor, it's really basically temporary. I have to prove that I'm committed and doing the things that I'm asked to do. And if I don't, obviously, I'm never going to make it through step four because step four is really tough. And actually, for time wise, it took me a year and a half to get through. I spent about 9 months just on the step four. Okay, so tell me about the AA book.
So the AA Big Book, I mean, obviously that was the first piece of 12-step literature ever written, published in 1939, and it was but when it was written, and there's, I mean, it's kind of an amazing book. I mean, that's where the 12 steps first appeared. Was in that book. And there's just a lot of kind of amazing wisdom in there, considering that nobody in the program at that time had more than a few years sober. A Bill and Bob who started this program was in 1935, and nobody had, more than, 3 or 4 years sober when that book was written. So that's kind of an amazing document. But what they didn't have was that they didn't have a really a lot of experiences. And so the other big book that's used in AA, which is the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, that was published 13 years later after they had had some experience. And they said, well, this kind of worked and this didn't work. At that time in the original big book, there's only one paragraph on the sixth step, one paragraph on the seventh step. Those were expanded into chapters for the 12 and tw for the 12 and 12. The Serenity Prayer does not appear in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And something else that does not appear in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is the word sponsorship. Sponsorship is not mentioned in the big book because it wasn't until after that people started having sponsors, and that finally appears, as does the Serenity Prayer, finding in the 12 and 12, because they had more, AA had more experience then, and they were able to bring these things into future literature. So it's, I think the AA Big Book's an amazing book. But as I say, I think that we've benefited from, again, 90 years of experience in 12-step recovery, that we have so much more that we can add to it, including our own experience in GA, which was, of course, goes back to 1957. So yeah, so it's a good book. There's a lot of great stuff in there, but it's, I don't think it's comprehensive. Personally, I think my book is better for working the 12 steps of GA, but that's just my opinion.
I'll second that. Thank you, Chris. And we have Alice. Alice G, welcome. I'm going to ask you to unmute. Do you have a question or comment for Chris? Welcome, Alice.
Sure, Alice. Yeah, the website is simple. It's just gasteps.org, and I just put that in the chat. So it's pretty simple. Then you just go to the literature
Thank you.
download and free download.
That was beautiful. Beautiful. Wow. Again, amazing, amazing, amazing. Thank you so much for today, Chris.